Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
All right, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Red Pill News. As always, I'm your host, Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector. I'm back on Twitter, and I'm back on the screen with my good friend Bob from Trade Genius Academy. Mr. Bob Kudla, how are you doing? I hope you had a good new year.
I did. I'll never censor you, Zach.
I appreciate that. Appreciate it. Well, listen, I have a ton of stuff lined up I want to talk about today, but do you got anything new going on at Trade Genius here in the new year?
Yeah, a couple things. One thing, too, is that people may not be aware of, but we also have a podcast that we did before the pandemic, and then things just got weird, and we kind of shut it down. But we started back up again on it 1st of November, and so we've climbed up almost already to 30,000 subscribers. Check it out. It's free. You know, 6 days a week, we talk macro, we talk markets, we talk some trading ideas up there. But I think few people would like it. Just go to Trade Genius on the podcast side. And then on the Trade Genius side itself is that we've incorporated some, I don't really call them trading bots, but we have what's called filter bots, where they act as sentinels, and they're able to then take our large database and boil it into a watch list. And from that watch list, we're able to push out trade ideas for people automatically from the bot. And then they can further curate those to see if they meet what people want. But overall, we just continue to improve the algorithms that we've been doing, Zach, and we've been hitting it pretty well. So, we basically been created a liquidity filter too, so that we can follow what the Fed's doing. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about that today, how Yellen and Powell are at cross purposes from each other. But for us to do that and combine with our algorithms, we're able to just continue. We were on a huge winning streak up until last week in terms of, no losing trades. And so we think we're optimizing the system pretty well. And if people want to trade with us, just go to tradelegagenius.com. Got the January specials running for your listeners till Saturday, I think the 21st. Stocks, crypto's heating up. We'll talk about that a little bit too.
Yep.
And you can take advantage of one of our 7 bundle stocks, cryptos, trading futures, trading options, and get 65% off. We use promo code WINNER and get anything that's non-bundled, and you can take advantage of really good savings, 45% off our retail price, but till Saturday. But the one thing that we do, Zach, I think is different than anybody else, is that we teach you how to use the signals. We give you access to our algorithm so you can actually find your own stuff if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also give trades out every day too. Some people just give you trades. Some people just give you access to information. Some people just give you access to them. We give you everything. And people seem to like it a lot. And we just want to push that out to your listeners. Come trade with us. And on the crypto side, what we do is, there's crypto pure, where you're working off just the cryptos themselves. But I also trade a lot of the crypto miners too. Okay. So you can hedge your positions, by going long or short Mara, Riot, Bakkt Holdings, whatever it is. They're all in the watch list. So So, you know, if cryptos are going down, instead of panicking out of Bitcoin, you can lever up on buying puts on Mara and stuff like that, and you keep yourself in the game. So that's what's new over here in Trade Genius land. You know, we're pretty excited. You know, the technology is just allowing us to do more and more things for our subscribers, and it just helps everybody become better traders.
All right, good stuff. As always, the link and the information is in the description below. Bob, I wanted to talk beginning today with a story that I saw on Zero Hedge. It's talking about the OPEC nations, OPEC Plus as well, having talks about moving away from the petrodollar, so no longer requiring oil to be purchased in dollars. And yeah, I mean, that is the only thing that is holding the dollar aloft in any sense, even though it doesn't have the same buying power that it used to. You know, what have you heard about this, and what kind of an impact could this have on the U.S. economy and even on the markets?
Yeah, you know, it's Saudi Arabia only, and it's primarily because they're China has become their number one customer, so I'm sure they're getting a lot of pressure to trade with the yuan. But the problem with the yuan, Zach, is that it's just not convertible for general trading around the world. So the Saudis now have a boatload of yuan, right? What are they going to do with it? They can only buy so much Chinese stuff, right? And if the Saudis run a surplus with China, then how are they going to dump the yuan? So I just think it's very unique to China and Saudi Arabia. And I wouldn't worry about the death of the dollar reserve currency just yet, but it doesn't really even matter. We have the reserve currency and we still can make a boatload of money on gold miners, silver miners, crypto anyway. Mm-hmm. And the world does not want the dollar to lose its reserve currency status. It would be absolute chaos and bedlam. And I'll make another point on that, too. People don't quite understand is the petrodollar is one thing, but we have this thing called the Petro Navy, okay, the Petro Space Force, the Petro Internet, okay, and the Petro Food. So I'm just being sarcastic, obviously. So yeah. We're in a situation where really the only nation in the world that can claim these things, right? And if you add the Anglosphere in there, which is decidedly, going to be dollar dependent, is that we control space, we control the air, we control the Navy, we control the food supply. And oh, by the way, Saudi Arabia, good luck getting your oil to China if our Navy decides it shouldn't get there. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't worry about that stuff too much. It's just, I think it has to happen. I'm more interested to see really how they're going to do the next Bretton Woods kind of a thing, because I think we're closer to that kind of debacle than we are about the dollar necessarily losing its reserve status.
Okay. What really kind of freaked me out about it is that a man who works for the Saudi royal family, and I think he's directly involved with negotiations for oil. I mean, he said specifically, you know, this signals the end for the petrodollar and hello to the petro yuan. So hopefully it doesn't happen. But you made some good points, and I'll go ahead and take it from you. I want to dip our toes into crypto next, because obviously we always touch on crypto, but we've all kind of been waiting to see if the U.S. government was going to regulate the crypto markets in any way. And I think a lot of people thought with the final collapse of the most recent exchange, FTX, and the debacle that's erupted from that, that it wasn't too far off around the corner. And I guess earlier today, there was a press conference that the DOJ held making some, I guess, decisions on regulations of crypto. But from what I hear, it was really no big deal. And as a result, crypto markets are soaring now.
Yeah, look, I think people need to separate crypto exchanges from crypto. Yeah. And so what we have here is basically the collapse of these opaque brokerages around the world, which needed to be moved out of the way, painful as it has become, in terms of now allowing what I would call the white hats, or the whiter hats, if you can count any U.S. brokers as a white hat, to come play. So now you got Fidelity out there, you got JP Morgan, you got Charles Schwab. All these people want to now broker and hold in custody cryptocurrency. And I think that is absolutely huge. And so I just think some of this was done to kind of clear out the deck here a little bit so that this asset class can now, you know, assume the mantle of an alternative for people to be able to trade. And look, and I am of the firm belief that Bitcoin Satoshi is probably the CIA / NSA.
Sure.
So I think it's an American creation, and I think it's done as a backstop in case something did happen with the dollar and I'm wrong on my reserve currency thing. Mm-hmm. I think Bitcoin is a great backup plan. Now, the thing about it that I really like now is that, you know, with the banking system getting in a situation, look, we still think, if I can just jump all over the place, we still think that Bitcoin will move down with the markets. Okay. We think we'll have a low sometime in 2023 with the markets and before they turn full printer mode back on at the central banks. But I think Bitcoin will come out of that really, really strong. And when I say Bitcoin, some other cryptos will come with it, but Bitcoin definitely is the whale. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to be able to make a lot of money. But we're really encouraged that the move we had from $17,000 to $21,000. And you know, one of the conspiracy theories that I heard was that the air traffic control centers were all locked down in U.S. and Canada. They had to pay ransomware. So
really, I heard that there was something more behind it, but I haven't heard anything more than that. That's crazy.
No, I just think this is what happens when you have what's called illiquid markets. So mm-hmm. That's why Bitcoin can go from $65,000 down to $17,000 when only 15 or 20% of the float ever trades. But it got down to such a point here, and we went into an options expiration here for January, and too many people were caught off sides on the short side. So it doesn't take much of a squeeze to get them to move the price up, because, you know, they also moved the stock market up too, mm-hmm. on a big squeeze here in the last 5 or 6 days. So absolutely encouraged. The U.S. government is okay with Bitcoin. The U.S. government's always been okay with Bitcoin and what I would call, you know, security kind of altcoin, you know, like Ethereum and things of that nature. But all these crap coins and non-security coins are going to be verboten in the U.S. And so, we're encouraged. We think it's just a nice asset for people to have. I love it in the fact because it's a non-banking correlated asset.
Sure.
So if the banks are getting, you know, hinky again, you know, now there's an easy way for you just to slide your money out of dollar-based, bank-based assets over to, crypto-based assets for, let the flood go by. Then you can back in. Look, you're never going to go. I think it's foolish for people to think we're going to have a Bitcoin-dominated economy going mm-hmm. forward, because countries just aren't going to allow it. So, but I think it's going to be a nice side by side. It's basically what gold was serving in the last two centuries. Bitcoin will serve in this century because it's just more mobile, you know, and it's more convenient than you and I running down with a wheelbarrow to go ahead and buy a car. Gold has gold will be fine too.
Well, on that same note, I think people are a lot, there are a lot of people who are raising the alarm about central bank digital currencies. You know, if the Fed, I mean, and the Fed is exploring like a Fed coin, but if the nations of the world start creating their own digital cryptocurrency and then forcing people to use it rather than using paper money, there's all kinds of implications for, you know, how it can be used to control people and ensure that you remain compliant, shall we say. Interestingly enough, you know, and this touches on gold as well. Both Iran and Russia have recently put forward some ideas about creating their own CBDC, but having this one backed by gold. And I'm just, you know, I mean, that makes it sound like a very enticing type of cryptocurrency for certain segments of the market. But something like that would only be available in Iran and Russia, right?
Yeah, I mean, and look, here's the problem backing anything with any collateral that you're going to try to come collect. If Russia doesn't want to give you the gold, you're mm-hmm. not getting the gold. Okay. Yeah. Remember, Charles de Gaulle, he wanted us to pay gold because we had gold-backed currency. And what did Nixon do? he walked away from the gold standard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I think those things are probably for domestic public consumption, but, and maybe just a tweak at the U.S. dollar. But, you know, if you can't trust the counterparty to deliver on the collateral, it's meaningless. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't trust Iran and Russia to...
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
To convert their collateral and hand it over. Can you imagine if they... If you say, okay, I don't want your CBDC, I want your gold. Russia will say, no, here, has my CDBC. You know,
right. Yeah, so it's, yeah, you know, right. And
how transportable is it? I can't use it here.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I wanted to also touch upon this situation that we're seeing kind of bubbling up with BlackRock. BlackRock is one of the largest firms in the world in their segment. Actually, it says they are the biggest asset manager, not one of the largest biggest asset managers. But they're getting a lot of backlash recently for some of their business practices and then also their investment philosophy, which is that ESG philosophy, environmental, societal, and governance. And down here in Florida, we completely pulled out any investments that we had with BlackRock. And I just saw an interview that was with the CEO, and he seems like he's kind of freaking out a little bit. Like, people are catching on to the fact that ESG is a scam and that it's not something we really should be involved in. Like, it's social engineering, basically.
Yeah, payback's a bitch, my friend. So, so, you know, it's just like climate change, Zach. Everybody likes it in the theory until it affects the pocketbook. And mm-hmm. So, you know, the ESG thing had the non-ESG people on the ropes for a while. But then, you know, it took a guy like DeSantis to be able to put his foot down and give courage to other people. And now they're like, wait a minute, we're losing real money here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, look, I think this whole thing's rolling over. You see the Davos crowd, people didn't show up that normally show up for this stuff. You know, the Pfizer dude, he's getting hammered by journalists over there. You know, I'm sure Bill Gates didn't go over there because he didn't want to talk about, you know, certain islands and, mm-hmm. and certain things. And so, you know, I just think you've seen the tide turn and shifting here. So what we thought we were going to get in 2020, we may be getting in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other part of BlackRock kind of losing their ass, if you will, you know, it was widely rumored that they were the ones who were driving up the housing prices because they were going into communities and they were just purchasing as many empty homes as they could. And now the bottom is dropping out of the housing market. You know, I was looking ever since I was looking for this home, I've continued just to kind of watch the prices to see where they're at. And it's like across the board, you know, you're seeing price drops of like 30 grand, just like boom, like across the board down here in Florida. And so I'm just wondering, I guess, depending on how large their portfolio is in terms of their real estate holdings, you know, how like this could be a big hit for them in that respect as well.
Yeah, look, in 2008, BlackRock took $1 billion hit on their when they did this before. Okay, mm-hmm. And they've already exited a couple markets, but it's not just BlackRock. I was showing my partner Phil, because we're going to do a podcast on this too, is that probably some of these real estate funds, they're gating their withdrawals now, mm-hmm. so you can't get your money out. Ooh. And you're talking, some of these funds are down, you know, 40%, and they also just not letting you get your money out, so you're like trapped. You know, and so I think you're going to see more and more of that where to me, I don't like real estate in the sense that it's extremely illiquid.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now, you know, if I'm wrong on the stock tomorrow, I'm out of the stock. Right. If I'm out of real estate, for me to get out of it tomorrow, I may have to really discount much, much farther than than I want to. And I think people are realizing now, you know, that this is the second time in 20 years that we're going to have a real estate crisis, where we went basically 80 years of non-interrupted rises, because demographics, Zach, are changing. People, you know, you're still in house formation, maybe family formation kind of environment. You know, people like me, you know, at some point I'd like to downsize.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to buy my house in Southern California, right, at these prices? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not myopic on this. I know at some point either wages are going to have to, or inflation's really going to have to come up for me to get out at a price that it was just a year and a half ago, or there's going to be a significant haircut. People don't realize that I've owned this home now 27 years, and twice in the 27 years, my price of my home has gone down to touch my buy price. Mm. So California, you know, has some extremely high appreciation, but you also get really good pullbacks too. Mm. And I think the rest of the country is going to see what living in California is like with real estate. Florida, you kind of get a mini me on that too, because Florida can be speculative too. Mm-hmm. It's just that you're running on a lower base. And but out here, the affordability index for a home is ridiculous. You can't afford a home here. If you're a first time home buyer, to put 20% down, you have to make nearly $200,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
That's what, four times the average income. So yeah, so I think we're in deep weeds, and this is not just a U.S. phenomenon. This is going to happen across the world. You see, China's population fell for the first time ever. Well,
there's a lot of countries. Yeah, a lot of countries. Yeah. I think it's the first time since 1960. But I was, it's shocking when you see it in China. But I mean, it happened here in the United States. It's happened in most. I mean, let's be honest. It happened in all the nations where they mass rolled out COVID vaccines to everybody. You know.
Yeah, that's funny, and that's just the beginning. I mean, the COVID thing, I don't think that wave has hit yet, to be honest with you. So I just think when I mean hit, I mean in a real tangible way.
Sure.
I think people are shocked. I think they're quite letting people pour across the borders, Act. If they didn't let people come across the border, the United States would have had population. It would have fell here in the U.S. too, because I think we only grew at, 30,000 people or something, mm-hmm. but we let 2.5 million people in.
Right.
So pretty interesting. Yeah. So BlackRock's, you know, what I hate about these guys is these guys are supposed to be the smartest guys in the room. All they are is they have the more money and they have leverage, and they can bully their way into these assets. But with real estate, they get trapped. They're going to get trapped again. For real estate, you know, we're not going to be out of this thing until we're going to see probably a 30% decline in asset prices, unless they decide to really amp up inflation. And but right now, the market's about 40% overvalued. And I think we're going to push down. Right now, what's happening is people just aren't buying anything.
Mm.
You know, maybe we can talk about that next month too. What happening now is you have this thing where asset prices are here, but fair value is here. And it's called sticky. It's stickiness, right? I don't have to sell, so I won't sell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I know that I can't sell my house for this price that I want. I have to sell it here if I want to get out. And so, but that's just everything. Your retail sales have fallen off a cliff. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to discount. And on it goes. Maybe next month we can talk about that, because what's going to happen is we're getting a bifurcation where things that you need to own and have, like rent, food, energy, are going to maintain value. But the things that you want to have are going to drop in value, but you're not going to be able to buy them because you have to spend all your money elsewhere. So
for sure.
It's going to be interesting time.
And then, you know, same thing's happening with in the car market as well. I've seen a couple of videos about used car lots talking about how they can't move any inventory. You know, just a couple of months ago, a car with 250,000 miles on it, you'd be lucky to get it for under 10 grand. It was absolutely insane. And, you know, Tesla just dropped the price of their cars by like 20 grand or something like that. If I bought into a Tesla at any time in the last 6 months, I would be so mad. So mad.
Did you see the riots in China? People who had bought Teslas right before the price drop in China showed up at the dealership and looking for their discount. They said China, Tesla may have to discount it again. Ooh. So all those car things went viral because I saw them too. That's the one that started thinking in my head where the stickiness problem, because they're not selling them. On the new car lots, they're holding their prices to pretend like everything's good, mm-hmm. but they're taking cars they're just getting from the factory and rolling them like 6 weeks later out to auction. Mm-hmm. It's just insane.
Yeah.
So I'm in the car market next year, so I just hope the whole thing collapses. So
yeah, me too. That'd be great. All right. Well, finally wrapping it up, Baba, I kind of wanted to just do a year in review on 2022. I've been saying lately that 2023 appears to be the year of the boomerang. You know, we're getting all of this stuff kind of swinging back and smashing straight into the Biden regime. Obviously, these classified documents and the scandal. CNN was just reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop. I couldn't believe that. We also learned proof positive that the FBI had actually spied on Donald Trump's campaign. We learned that Facebook and Twitter were suppressing good information about COVID-19. I mean, the list goes on and on. Basically, everything that we were called conspiracy theorists for has been proven to be true by the end of 2022. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and we were also Russian bots, too.
That's right.
Yes, comrade. So the other thing too, Fed and the FBI and Pelosi basically orchestrated January 6th. So
absolutely.
On and on and on we go. But here's the one that I love the best. And it came out of the mouth of John Kerry, you know, that imbecile. He got up to Davos and he was talking about what a great service the people of Davos are doing for the world. And he goes, we are so different. We're so unique. It's like we're extraterrestrials. And I'm saying, like an extraterrestrial, you guys are the extraterrestrial. So
certainly so looks like one.
We can put that one to bed. The lizard people are real.
It's so funny. I mean, that's basically the truth, you know, absolutely. All right. Well, Bob, I appreciate you being here today, man. It's really good to see you again. And you got anything you want to tell the audience before we take off?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, for folks that are thinking, where am I going to go in 2023? Look, energy is going to stay strong. Commodities are going to be strong. What I would call the currency debasement stocks and assets are going to be strong. And then tech's going to get obliterated. So now they'll all weave in and out to each other. But if you start positioning your portfolio that way in 2023, you'll be happy. And if you want to trade with us, we can help put you in the right asset classes and, you know, and help you kind of steer your way through this. But 2023 is going to be an awesome year. It's not going to be awesome for the people who are woke, but it's going to be awesome for the people who are awakened.
Good
and
stuff.
I think it's our time.
All right. I agree with you. All right. Thanks again for being here, Bob. And to everybody at home, we'll see you next time. Good luck and God bless.